Now fans of books like The Cat in the Hat or The Lorax will have a chance to see a special exhibit of paintings and drawings this weekend from the late Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known as Dr. Seuss.
Some of the artwork will be familiar, but people will also get a chance to see pieces that were only released after Geisel's death in 1991. It'll be on display this week at Gallery 505 in Whitefish Bay.
Valerie Jackson is with us now. She's the curator of the exhibit and an expert in Dr. Seuss artwork. She's the owner of the Ann Jackson Gallery in Atlanta. Valerie, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well, Valerie, tell us, if you would, a bit about this exhibit. What's in it?
Well, this is a very exciting collection, and we're very pleased to bring it to Whitefish Bay, Milwaukee area. We actually have about 70 years of Dr. Seuss's genius. That includes the book illustrations that we're all familiar with. It's also his secret paintings that he did at night. Some call them midnight paintings. He did these before the books were written, and then as he was writing the books, he painted for stress relief these particular images, and he never showed them to anybody, and he never sold them. They were very private. And then we also have a collection of some of his political cartoons. He actually had over 400 published cartoons in his lifetime. And then another exciting facet to his work is the unorthodox taxidermies that he did in the 30s. And at that time, his father was the superintendent of the zoo in Massachusetts, Springfield, Massachusetts, where he grew up. So his dad would send him parts of the animals when they died, and he got out his plaster and he brought them back to life with these wonderful, whimsical creations.
So are the parts of the animals actually inside of the plaster, or did he just use
them
for inspiration?
They are not. Well, what he did was he took the actual animal parts and then got his plaster out and made an actual sculpture. So since he never wanted his original sold, he wanted to be published so people could afford them. So they made a mold of the originals out of resin, and then each one is hand-painted exactly like the original that is still in their home.
You said some of these are called, you think of them as nighttime paintings, and they were ones he didn't want really shown until after he had passed on. Why is that? When you look at these, do you see why that was?
He was just a very private man, and he did these just for fun. He never sold them. He never wanted to sell them. Even his friends never really knew what he had done. And as he got older and towards the end of his life, he wanted the world to see what he had done over this 70-year period. But he didn't want to be alive when it happened. And he was just he was not a public person. He was a private man. He didn't like the spotlight. He didn't do these to make money. He just got joy out of them. So he wanted them to be shared by the world. He wanted them to be affordable for people to purchase. So he wanted them done in limited editions. So these are pieces that have been reproduced from the originals, which he hand-signed all of his originals. So when the pieces are printed or reproduced, the signature was also printed. And then they're hand-numbered through the publishing company that his wife, Audrey, and him authorized to hire to be the publishers of this collection.
So why are we seeing the reproductions? Are they just too precious to send on tour?
Well, the originals are archived. Most of them are in archives. They lived in La Jolla, California, and a lot of them are still in their home. He was a big kind of a hoarder. He had art stuck on the walls, under the beds. He built secret rooms in the house
that,
when you opened up, were filled with these Secrets of the Deep sculptures. And then the University of San Diego, which is right there in La Jolla, built a library to house his work in. So a lot of pieces are archived there in drawers and in vaults. And they only bring them out at special times of the year. So right now, you can't really publicly see his work in its entirety. You can see the published pieces, But the collection is still growing because if you think about it, this man illustrated every page in 42 of his books and painted his own private works and had over 400 published political cartoons done, and he did magazine covers and calendar covers. So he had a massive collection of his own art, and so just 140 or so have been published so far. But the collection is going to continue to grow.
Now, you're a Dr. Seuss expert, and unlike you, I've only seen probably what's been published. I've read his books to my kids, and I've seen some cartoons. For someone like you who's seen this exhibit and has seen some of the lesser-known works that he kind of wanted to keep secret, do you now understand his work and maybe his mind, too, in a way that you didn't understand it before you saw all
these
pieces?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, I've been doing this since the first day it was published. We were one of the very few galleries chosen to even carry it. And we only started with 10 pieces. And I have been learning about him on a daily basis for over 20 years. And I've had the opportunity to meet his wife, Audrey, to go out to San Diego to the archives where they opened up for us to actually go in and see, like, his notebooks that he kept in college, to see the original sculptures sitting there, to see just the inside world of Dr. Seuss's mind. And it's been such a treasure and such a pleasure learning about Dr. Seuss and following him and trying to get to understand him more every day. So you see a lot of his insight starting in the late 20s. So the late 20s and 30s, he was actually in advertising. He did a lot of marketing for Standard Oil Company. He did marketing for Flit, the bug spray, which was also a Standard Oil product. So you see his amazing cartoons, and a lot of them were college-related. A lot of them had to do with Prohibition, because when he was growing up, his family had a big brewery and did very well with it. And when Prohibition came, they lost everything. And so he likes to refer to a lot of that in his work. And he was big in political cartoons with World War II. He worked with Frank Capra, who was a famous director back in the 30s and 40s. He actually went into enemy lines with Frank to do documentaries for the Army.
That's incredible. So there's such a body of richness there with this work. And as we wrap up, Valerie, why do you think that his work has stood the test of time?
Because it speaks to everybody. It's his insight and how he thinks. It's the way he makes his words, the way he wrote his books. It just affects every age group from 100 years old to 1 year old. And he will stick with us through time in his movies, in his books, just in his political thoughts and feelings. He was an amazing man that brought a lot to us in this country, for sure. But he's also very popular all over the world, as we all know.
Well, sounds like an incredible opportunity to see some of his work. Valerie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Veronica. It's been a pleasure.
Valerie Jackson is a curator and a Dr. Seuss art expert, and she joined us to talk about a new exhibit of artwork from Dr. Seuss that's on display this week at Gallery 505 in Whitefish Bay.